Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bert Show.
This is one of my favorite segments that we do on The Bert Show right here.
It just gets real, right? Yeah. I mean, you're just going to set aside all sensitivities, or nobody's going to get all upset or offended or defensive. Just going to ask questions to each other.
We call this ask a race. So if you're white and you've always wanted to ask a black person something, but you were too scared, too nervous, you didn't want to offend or whatever, go ahead and ask it today. Carl's in here. Kenny Burns is in here. And if you're black, you've got a whole bunch of goofy ass questions to ask white people, because I see them. They're great. Things I never even thought of before.
What about the interracial racial?
Yeah, we're just listening to Kenny here and Carl talk about the whole interracial racial problem going on.
Yeah, because like I said, my mom's half white, so I'm a quarter, and I'm light skinned. And then, you know, Carl over here is my brother from another mother.
He's and dark-skinned. I'm dark skinned.
So back in the day, the dark skinned brothers used to hate on the light skinned brothers because Al B. Shore and all those prolific R&B artists, Heavy D and the Boys. No, it used to be like, yeah, we used to get all the girls, and it used to be a thing, right? Like
then that. Next thing you know, came Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Put us dark-skinned brothers deep in the game.
New Michael Jordan. Yeah. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan did it for the ball head. Man,
yeah. But no, that's just, it's real, and it was interracial.
Right.
It was racially interracial. Racial.
So, racial. And my question was this. Wow. Does that mean with dark-skinned black women go for light-skinned black dudes?
I think back then,
it was all light-skinned guys.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even go out with Kenny back in the day.
He wouldn't.
You know,
why?
I mean, if I went out with him, I just know that all the girls gonna be at him. It was, seriously, it was just like that. I wouldn't hate him or anything like that.
Jealous.
But hands down, man,
like this,
guy. Then he wouldn't go out with me in the 90s.
Now, do you think that for black women, is this, there's tension between dark-skinned black girls and light-skinned?
Have you ever seen School
Definitely.
Days?
Yeah.
They had the Jigaboos and what was the other name for the other crew? But no, they definitely had, right?
School Days by Spike Lee?
Yeah, no, they had a real,
definitely.
The light-skinned girls were thought to have pretty wavy hair, and the dark-skinned girls had the nappy, whatever. So it was a thing. And it was a thing, you know, we went to black college.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I went to Morris Brown, he went to Clark. So it was kind of like, we came in on the tail end of it, kind of. But
And you guys knew each other back in the day.
It was real. We knew of each other.
Yeah. I was the party guy.
Yeah, he was
the
party guy.
What was Carl?
I was the cool guy.
Yeah, he was the cool guy.
All right, white people, why do white people let their dogs kiss their face?
Disgusting. Justin Anthony knows.
We should
get Justin Anthony on the phone. Look, we were leaving, the W or something one night, and we went to McDonald's, and he had these fries. First of all, I never seen so much salt in my front seat the next morning. But then he picks his dog up to take him to his house, and he's just, I'm driving, and I almost crashed because the dog is in the mouth, like, all up in with the tongue. And I'm like, Justin, he's going to touch it. He touched it. Oh, he touched your tongue with his tongue.
And just like Kenny's going on, man, it really, like, just disgusts us hands down.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is, do they ever think about the disease or the germs? Like, does that even cross the mind?
Well, no. I can say mine's very specific. I have an English bulldog, and it's too fat to have its tongue in its butt or it's on its genitals. So if it kisses my face, I'm okay with it.
But you are aware of what your dog does the minute it sees another dog, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he's the only dog in the house.
They put. Oh my! It is
so he has licked my face.
Even the drool. Like, do you see the pieces and the particles in the drool? Sometimes it is. I mean, leftover dog food, strains of grass. It's just a nasty situation.
I think it's like a reflection of how we treat animals, right? I mean, Carl, because we've talked about this, like when all the like dog fighting stuff came up or whatever, and it's not. Like, animals in, like, our house are like little humans. Like, we treat them like little humans, and that's why they're misbehaved and spoiled rotten and all that other stuff. But, like, to you, like, a dog is an outside animal.
Yeah, he's
like,
a dog.
It's totally fine if the dog stays outside. And we buy, like, $400 beds for our dogs and stuff like that. Like, I think it's just a reflection of that.
Yeah, nah, dogs got to stay outside.
You ever seen a dog in, like, a sweater?
I've seen it all.
Not a white owner.
I've seen men with dogs in bags on planes. Who does that? I don't know. Like, the carry-ons.
This is a big-time cultural difference, though.
Oh, no. Way white people, I won't buy my kids a dog.
Why?
Why not?
Because I don't want them in my house.
What's wrong?
I just don't like the smell. It gets to be a smell. And people always talk about there's no smell. My dog don't smell. Smell your dog. Smell your dog. It's a smelly situation. I'm serious. Call me bougie. Call me light-skinned Carl. Whatever you want to call me.
So you're a cat man.
I am a no animal man.
No animals at all.
You get like three cats. You don't need a dog.
I don't do any. I had a cat named Bootsy that was always in heat. And it turned me off when I was a child. And I had a dog named Garfield who ran away, and it was over.
You're scarred. Still I'm scarred.
I know a lot of guys like him. I know a lot of black folks like Kenny. Don't touch animals at all.
Really?
No, dogs. I'm not like an animal hater. I love to play with dogs. I just don't want them in my house.
Send them back home.
Many people think that black people are afraid of dogs.
Negative. We are the pit bull kings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Doberman pinchers.
Crucial.
Ashton.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Can I say that? Pitbull King.
I have a question regarding how do y'all accept the term of President Obama being titled the first African-American president when his mother is clearly not African-American?
Who are you asking this to?
The black people.
The black people?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, good question, but he is black because that's considered the dominant race color-wise. I'm sorry, dominant color. Do you think that's it, Carl?
Yeah, and for the most part, five other black people in the room and Obama was in the room, Kenny was in the room, somebody came in and said, oh, black people hit the floor. He'd be one of them to hit the floor, too. So I consider him to be black.
That's the litmus test right there.
Yes. But now,
that was views of Carl. That was Carl's view on the situation.
Yeah. That's the bottom line. Right?
That's a good point, because I'd be like, yeah, y'all better get down. Yeah.
No, I will say, as a white woman, I don't think we can have it both ways, because I don't think white people can judge someone of mixed race and always call them black, which I think traditionally happens. And then when Obama's in office, because he has a white mom, then try to say, well, he's got a white mom. That's inconsistent.
But he associated himself with being black.
You never, a mixed race person, I've never heard of anybody call them white.
What we should have asked that girl is, if you were driving down a street you'd never been down before and he approached your car, would you lock your doors?
Crucial.
And when she said yep, then, well, there you go. That's why it happened.
Which was a question, actually, that we had going here. Hey, Andrea, good morning. You're on
Q100. Good morning. I'm mixed. So my question was,
hey.
I'm mixed with Mexican, Indian, black. And I've noticed when I was in high school a lot, we'd go to, underground in Atlanta. And my white friend, she would always lock the door when a black person would cross the street. So later on that evening, we were going to go back to where we lived at, and I was like, oh my God, there's some white people. Lock the door. Lock the door. And so then she started laughing. She was like, why do you do that? And I said, because you did it to me earlier. But I just didn't know, why do white people always lock the door when they see white people hanging around on the corner or going on MLK or, I was just curious why they do that.
You saw a white person on MLK?
Yeah, seriously, yeah.
No, you know what, though? I just think that there are some scary-looking black people, just like there's some scary-looking white people. Yeah. So, I get nervous myself sometimes. Oh, crucial, we want to go this way. No, I mean, but I think it depends on the person.
I think it's where you are, too. There are scary places where a whole bunch of white people hang out,
right.
And there are scary places where black people hang out. So have you ever, anybody in here locked the doors?
I
live downtown. I lock my doors. I mean, that's just regular.
I lock my
every time I get in the car. Yeah, I think I always lock my doors, regardless if there's people around or not.
Right.
I think that's being a girl.
My car locks, when you start it, so it's never
on purpose.
A thought, yeah. But it's programmed into the GPS. The minute I get to a certain point in the city, bam, lock them all, puts the windows up. No, but it's I think that is the single rudest racially profile thing that you could do. Mm-hmm. Because
I've seen people walk across the
street.
You
can hear it. Like, they're electric locks. It's not like the little slider thing that used to have my dad's Sunbird.
Right.
It's like, thunk!
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then, like, if somebody's standing near your car and you lock your doors on them, like,
well, I'm sure that
rude.
The mentality must be, well, I'd rather be embarrassed than be safe, quote unquote, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I've seen white people walk across the street. Like, a white couple walking down the street, two black guys. And they'll walk across the street to stay away from the black dudes.
Oh, yeah. That's happened to me plenty of times.
It has?
Yeah, definitely.
They may know you. It may not have anything to
do
with
it. Right? Check my history. But I've even had women tug on their purse. Like, they'll, like, switch their purse from the side that I'm on to the other side.
Oh,
and then
really?
They'll tug on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I guess it's safer than sorry, but, you know, I'm not going to do anything to
it. Is there anything that black people do around white people? Like, if y'all are driving in a way redneck part of town or way out in the country or something,
no.
Do you lock your doors or?
I mean, I've seen some scary white people.
Or turn up B98.5 real loud and pretend you're.
I have a black friend who she will lock her doors if she's in a predominantly white areas.
Really?
That she feels
really?
Like, yeah. She says, because they're going to see me and they're going to know I don't belong and they're going to, you know, she feels like she's going to get harassed in affluent white neighborhoods.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think my attitude used to be, I wish a mother sucker would. Like, who cares? Like,
you want to fight?
No, it's not a want to fight, but like, what do you have to be scared of? People
right.
are people. Like, unless somebody's running up to you right. swinging or pulling an object right. out, like,
mm-hmm.
what do you have to be scared of?
Right.
But see, that's a guy mentality, because a woman, it's like Jen said, I lock my doors all the time. It doesn't matter if I'm in a black neighborhood, a white neighborhood, it don't matter, because a lot more can happen to a girl.
And I won't walk down the street alone if there's a white guy or a black guy and I'm by myself. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It's just that it's a guy.
Right.
Hey, Rob, good morning. You're on Q100.
How you doing, guys? I got a couple questions. I want to ask the one because I don't know how to ask the other one. But the first one is, I work with a bunch of black people, and why do they all eat their steaks well done? Every one of them.
You know what I was going to ask? Why do white people eat their steaks rare?
No,
I was
going to
ask the same question.
Now, I can't, because it's the blood.
Exactly.
It's the visual of red blood oozing in your meat.
We've talked about it before that we're more conscientious about bacteria and about disease and germs and things like that.
Bro.
That's the only reason why I don't ever eat a rare steak.
Why is that a cultural thing, though?
I don't know. Why is that? Then what came up the last time we did this that made us really realize that?
Drinking after each other or something like that.
It was something about your, Carl, something with the forks you use or something, wiping something down.
Right, right.
Or
I don't
something.
Never use a fork.
Utensil, right?
Yeah, when I'm in a restaurant, the fork that I get, I'll dip it in my water. And I'll wipe it off.
That was it.
Even before you put it in your mouth, you'll always like clean it and rinse it first.
He's just a hypochondriac. Definitely. My wife is like that.
Yeah?
Yeah?
White people don't do that, though, generally.
Yeah, but that's the person. I don't know if that's necessary.
But I think that's...
The red meat thing is definitely... I can agree with that.
That's upbringing, too, because like I always ordered my steak what my dad got. He always got his, I think, medium well up until... You know, I was old enough to try one that was medium, and now that's how I like them. And I would guess my kid would do the same thing. You know what I mean? So if you grew up eating it cooked that way.
Is it better tasting, though?
No, it's definitely, you know what? I tried.
I think
it.
So.
I tried it, Carl. Yeah. It's definitely a little less, it's easier to eat.
Yeah.
Really?
It's not like leathery.
It's not chewy. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, I'm really curious what your other question was that you thought you were going to struggle through.
I'm dying to know this one because all the guys at work are like, oh, hell no. And why don't black men like to perform like oral on women?
Yeah, those are strange guys right there. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Good.
Yeah, that might have been a 90s thing.
But I didn't hear the question.
What was going on in the 90s?
Black men don't go down.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I think that's a 90s thing. How old are these gentlemen that you
work young.
With?
He hung up.
Oh, crucial.
Well, yeah, you got to be like younger
I don't
guys.
I don't know any guys that don't. I mean, that are grown, that don't like.
Where does a stereotype like that come from? Because when this comes up in our group, and I ask the black guys,
in high school, we had that discussion between black guys and white guys.
No, it's true. It's true. That used to be the mentality. I think now more and more. I think that comes with maturity too, though. Like you're not 14 years old, even if it's your first time, 15, 16, whatever, you know what I mean? Your first time is, you're not thinking about going down. But then, you know, when you get older, it's a part of the process.
But you know what, though? I think that, especially as a younger guy, as a younger boy and everything, I think your manhood is based on, you know, your sex, what you can do sexually.
Yeah,
and I think that black guys, man, we just kind of stood real proud on how we could perform sexually without anything else in the bed, you know? So I think that going down would kind of
take away from
take away from that. I gotcha. Exactly.
I don't need none of the nonsense. I just got this. That's it.
Uh huh.
Hmm. Well,
no bells and whistles.
You didn't ask the women. Yeah. When you get older, you learn. Oh, honey, what do you want? Oh,
it's not
okay.
Going down, huh?
See, Carl, that goes back to the light skin, dark skin thing. See, I was light skin. I was a Prince fan. You know, I saw Purple Rain. I saw Purple Rain at 13, and I studied certain situations of the situation. And by 16, I was all good.
He was a fan.
Hey, Danielle. Good morning. You're on the Bird Show
Q100.
Hey, how you doing and stuff?
I'm good. I was just wanting to know, when it's cold, why do white people come out with a jacket and shorts on?
I saw a little boy at the bus stop this morning, 50 degrees with shorts on.
Flip-flops.
Yeah.
And a short sleeve shirt, and the guy next to him had a winter coat.
Well, she's saying he has a jacket on, right? But shorts on?
Yeah, a jacket and shorts, and I've seen grown men do it, and they'll have, like, mandals on. I'm like, are you serious?
Mandals.
You know what? I almost did it, and this is going to be no defense of your situation, but I think this is a total white person thing to do. I had Jessica's car yesterday. It's a convertible. It was 50 degrees out, but yep. I was tempted to put the top down and be that guy wearing the jacket with the heat on, but that's all right. The sun was shining. I put the convertible top down. I think that's one of those things
we can't explain, but we certainly acknowledge that white people do that.
It's holding on to summer as long as you can.
Intern Rich, you can explain this?
I think I might have a...
Grab a mic.
I might have a reason for it, but basically it's, you know, even growing up, we're always kind of taught that paradise is, you know, the beach, the warm weather, and it's kind of like where your family goes on vacation. And I think a lot of times we're just in denial that winter is coming, and we want to prolong the sandals and the shorts as long as possible because that's what we're kind of grow up as knowing as beach, you know, break time, fun, good weather. So we kind of hold on, I think.
It could be.
I think.
I'm guilty. Hey, Angie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
My question is, when you ride down the street, you see a white person driving, the passenger always sticks their feet out the window, and it's always a barefoot. It's never
a Florida thing.
Shoe and a sock on.
That's a Florida thing.
Even if your feet are dirty, too.
Yeah, that's
right. It's always dirty.
Yeah, foot
it gets back to the dirty thing for you again.
Yeah, it's nasty.
That is trashy. I think that's disgusting.
But you've never seen a black person do it, but certainly white people do it all the time.
I have a question. It's specifically for Kenny, but it's related to black people.
Crucial.
Percentage-wise, when I hear a party advertised on V103,
yeah,
of all the invited guests, how many actually show up?
You know what? When it comes to Alex, I will say he's 100% because he, you know, pays his...
In general, though.
But every now and again, you hear, you know...
We're going to start doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the Q100, Big Wicked, yeah. Barack Obama, Pope Benedict, Tupac coming back,
right.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a tragedy that they would even let them promote something that wasn't true. I mean, you know.
Well,
they're
getting around it because you say invited guests. So, like, who can we invite to Big Wicked?
Oh, we'll invite Usher.
A-Rod.
Yeah, A-Rod,
Madonna.
Sure. Michael Jordan's invited.
Cruise. Yes.
I'm coming.
Kelly, go ahead.
Okay, when driving on the highway, this is for black people, in the left lane, I would like to know why you guys drive slow and do not move over.
In the speed lane?
Do black people think that they drive slowly? More slowly than white people?
I don't know any black person that drives slow.
That drives slow at all.
Yeah, if I'm in the left lane, I'm 100.
Real easy.
Q100.
Okay, because I have an hour drive to work every day, and I started creating my own statistics.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got?
That's funny.
Well, You're cute. 50% of the time, it's people, black people, that don't move over, and they know I might be going 10 over the speed limit, and they know I'm, like, right behind them, and they won't move over. And then, like, 20% of the time, it's Asians. And
I was about to say, you sure it's not
Spanish
Asians?
People.
Like, I don't know. I've seen Asians do it. I've witnessed that. I've never seen a black person do
it.
Oh,
yeah. Like, you can tell them for... ever, and they won't move over.
In your own head, do you think that they are blocking you because you're white and they're black?
I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm calling.
No, it's not that. They can't drive. It's the same person probably every day.
You get behind the same person 50% of the time.
Yeah, cut that out. Go another round.
All right, one more question here. Hey, Tiffany, go ahead. You're on Ask a Race Q100.
Hi. I have a question for white women. Sometimes they'll ask
or when I first meet them, they'll talk to me like, hey, girlfriend, hey, sister, mm-hmm. or something like that. And I don't even speak like that. So it's kind of weird to me.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to be hipper than they are.
Yeah, probably just trying to fit in.
Or trying to make you, I think it's more of just an olive branch. Like, I want you to know that, you know, I'm not a racist white person. Even though they're coming across as racist by trying to say, you know, slang. But I do think that a lot of times white women mistake it. Like, I just want to let you know that I'm cool.
Right. I usually just ask when I meet a black person, say, would you like to do this in English or Ebonics? And I'll just
That's racial. That's so racial.
It's funny. You rarely see black people try to white their language. But you see white people trying to black their language.
Oh,
all
I disagree.
The time.
But,
no, I disagree, too. Right? I disagree because, you know, it's a thing. It's like I'm from Washington, D.C. I might not sound like I'm from D.C. when I'm in Atlanta, but if I go home, I'm saying, you know, mm-hmm. the youngin' and the slang. But, you know, even when we're out, Bert, like I'm not, I mean, yes, right. I do. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, or let's say corporate experiences. When I'm doing a pitch for Heineken,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not in a Heineken meeting unless it's, you know, I'm comfortable with them, you know, being exactly. totally, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. You have to present what they want. And then after you find out what they really want, you can
then
be you.
Then you can be yourself.
And I don't think yourself. That you all really heard the real me, though. Not around here. Because I don't think that you all really understand.
Yeah, he's ghetto.
What's the real you?
Oh, you did.
Yeah, because there were a couple times where I would, when Carl and I went to BET last year, and so we're walking in and together, and he's like, look over there, it's Jazzy Faye. You know, that's what he's saying to me, and I'm like, oh, cool. And he's like, and look, you know, there's T-Pain over there. And then he would see, you know, for other friends, black friends of his, and it was a completely different person. I think I even called you out on it once. I'm like, you're whiting it down for me. But because I think
I'm just pronouncing my ask.
Ask.
And why does it have to be whiting it down? Why can't it be whiting it up?
Boy. But you know, that happens a lot in the workplace too. A lot of black folks that I know, they always whiten it up.
Yeah.
So
stop whiting it up. Cut that out.
Kenny, thanks for coming in, dude.
Thank you, bro.
Appreciate it.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question? My
can you what?
Quick question. Question.
Can
my
you
wife,
what?
Michelle, she wanted me to ask y'all this.
Can
you
ask
you
us?
Want us to what?
Every time.
She wants us to do what?
She wanted me to holler at y'all about something. She wanted me to ask you all, man, the movie that black people see, that every time I tell her that I've never seen The Color Purple, her friends just hit the floor like in disbelief. What's that white movie, man, that every white person has seen just to get you that white card?
It's like either Top Gun.
E.T.
Oh, my. She said Top Gun.
Pretty Woman.
Really? Oh, that's my favorite movie in the history of the world.
Is there a universal white movie? Say anything?
It's generational. Like, I would go with like Fast Times at Ridgemont High for one generation.
I haven't seen that.
I think Bert's favorite movie is Good Hair. That he walked out.
Now that I understand it is.
Oh my God, Bert walked out. Everyone, he just got so uncomfortable. He was laughing.
No,
at
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I walked out because it was 10 o'clock and I had to be up in 3 hours.
Ah, okay. There
I was fascinated by that movie.
That was hilarious.
It was great.
It was hilarious.
All right, Kenny, thanks for coming in, man.
No doubt, Daddy.
What happened to Karen?
I don't know. She was on hold and then she disappeared. I know she was waiting on an interview with Dr. Oz.
Oh, yeah,
so maybe he called in earlier or something like that, and she put Oz above us. Whatever.
We'll do this again. You have to come back.
I love it.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.